I want to ask you to open your Bibles to two passages of Scripture tonight. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the other one is Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read the first 13 verses, and in Romans chapter 12, we will read verses 3 through 8. First Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 and reading through the 13th verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in the body of the believer, so that his body becomes the inner sanctuary of the Spirit of God. And he is a walking temple of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer, he does not come empty-handed, but he comes bearing gifts. And to every believer, the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. The body of Christ, like a human body. Christ the head, you and I the members of that body. Just as every member of my body has a particular function and is given to me simply because I am a body, and at birth I received all of these physical gifts, so at salvation, as the Spirit of God comes to indwell permanently the believer, he brings with him spiritual gifts that he bestows upon that person. Now, all of us tonight would agree that the Church of Jesus Christ is supernatural in origin. I like what Vance Havner says about this. He says, I know the church must be supernatural and divine, or else it wouldn't have withstood the way we've run it all these years. We understand and believe that the church is supernatural in origin. But what we may not understand is that the church is also supposed to be supernatural in operation. And that not only was our birth supernatural and divine, inexplainable from human standpoint and human terms, but also the daily ministry and operation of the church is likewise to be just as supernatural and just as divine. If it isn't supernatural, it's superficial. If it isn't God, the Spirit, doing it through the believers that He indwells, if it is not supernatural in origin and operation, then it is superficial and not a work of God. Now, this is the purpose of spiritual gifts, so that the life of the believer, as he makes up the body of Christ, that New Testament church, so that that church may be supernatural in operation. What is spiritual gift? What do we mean? The Apostle Paul uses two words in this passage of Scripture. He starts off by using the word spiritual, and that word simply means anything that comes from the Spirit. And then he uses the word gift, which means a gift of grace, a divine gift of grace. A spiritual gift is a supernatural divine endowment of grace that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are supernatural endowments that God gives to every believer in order that he might have a place of service within the body of Christ. The gift of the Spirit is the Spirit Himself. The gifts of the Spirit are those several special endowments, those special abilities to serve the body of Christ that He gives to every believer. Now, the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is this. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and as the Holy Spirit expresses His nature, the life of Jesus, in our life. The fruit of the Spirit has to do with character, with our life. The gifts of the Spirit have nothing to do with character. You could have a gift and be a lousy character, as the Corinthians were. The gifts have nothing to do with character. They have to do with service. They have to do with service. And the Bible says that God, when Jesus Christ ascended to high, up on high in Ephesians chapter 4, that He gave gifts unto men. And we share tonight in the spoils of the victory of Jesus Christ. And the spoils of that victory of Calvary are the gifts that He distributes to every one of us. And there are few things that are as important in your life as a believer than this, to understand that the Spirit of God has taken up permanent residence within you and has gifted you to perform a certain function within that body of Jesus Christ. Now, it is impossible for us to say much about the gifts of the Spirit without saying something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned this just briefly this afternoon. But in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says that all of us have been baptized, not by one Spirit, but in one Spirit, into the body of Christ. All of us have been baptized into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience subsequent to salvation, but rather it is simultaneous with salvation, when that Holy Spirit, having taken up residence within us, immerses us into the body of Christ, He implants us, He incorporates us into the body of Christ. It happens every time a person is saved. Every time a person is saved, you have Pentecost all over again, so to speak. Because that Spirit of God, we are immersed into the body of Christ. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that we would, but we're never commanded because that happens simultaneously with our salvation. And as a part of that act in salvation, we have been given by the Holy Spirit spiritual gifts. Now I want to say three or four very simple things tonight about spiritual gifts. Number one, spiritual gifts are salvation gifts. They are salvation gifts. They are given to us simply because we're saved. Paul compares it to the members of your body. I have a hand. You know why I have this hand? Because I'm a body. I don't have it for any other reason. I didn't pray for it. I didn't work for it. I didn't merit it. I didn't reach a certain plateau. And as a reward was given this hand, I got this hand simply because I was born. That was part of the deal. That came in the whole package. I have this hand simply because I had a physical birth. I have my two feet as a result of my physical birth. Nothing subsequent to my birth, but as a part of my physical birth. And I tonight have a spiritual gift, and you have a spiritual gift, simply because you are saved. And every person who is saved has a spiritual gift. Now listen, this is a supernatural ability to serve God. It's not a natural ability to serve God. It is a supernatural ability to serve God. And I think that's one of the most exciting things found in the Word of God. That every member of this church, every member of every church, no matter how young he is in the Lord, no matter how untalented or how uneducated he is, God has endowed him with a supernatural ability to do something that nobody else can do in that place and in that time. And if you're saved tonight, you have a spiritual gift. You may not know it. You may not have any idea what it is. Doesn't make any difference. If you are obeying the head, Jesus Christ, you are exercising that gift, whether you know what it is or not. My hand doesn't have to know it's a hand to operate as a hand. My foot doesn't have to know it's a foot to operate as a foot. All it is required to do is to obey the head. And when the head says move, it moves. And when the head says hand, pick it up, it picks it up. It is exercising its gift. You may not know what your gift is, but if you are submissive to the head, Jesus Christ, and are serving Him as He gives you opportunity, you are exercising your spiritual gift. You have a supernatural ability tonight to serve God in a way that nobody else can. Now, since these are salvation gifts, this means that they are not given as rewards of spirituality. One of the teachings that we hear so often is that when you have a certain spiritual experience, you reach a certain spiritual plateau as a reward or as an evidence that you have reached this particular spiritual experience, God gives you a gift. Now, the only thing wrong with that teaching is it is not found in the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that we are given gifts because of our spiritual status. And no gift is ever intended to be a spiritual status symbol. Paul says, writing to the Romans in 12th chapter, he says, I want you fellows to be sure to remember this, that you ought not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. And no matter what your gift is, he says, you be content to minister in the area of that gift and let the other gifts be ministered by the people who have those gifts, and don't you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think because you have a gift nobody else has. They have nothing to do with your spirituality. They're given to you simply because you're saved. Here's a man that has a gift of evangelism. And you know, this used to bother me. I have a friend. That has the gift of evangelism. Now, I can say this now because he has changed, and I thank God for it. that had the gift of evangelism. And you know he could stand up and preach a sermon? Anointed by the Spirit of God? Give that invitation? And it looked like somebody opened the gate. And just scores, dozens, hundreds of people flocked to the altar to be saved. I sat there in utter amazement. And I preach like that and give an invitation, nobody be saved. Everybody go in a different direction. I said, man, that fellow must really have the Spirit. But I noticed that the moment he stepped out of the pulpit, he was pure carnal. Go into a restaurant, be rude to the waitress. Personal defeat in his life. Personal weaknesses that had haunted and humiliated him even before he was saved. And I could not understand it, because here was a person who was a carnal, worldly Christian who yet when he preached in the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And I couldn't understand it until I came to understand that God gives gifts to men. And you can stand and exercise that gift, and the Spirit of God will anoint that gift. But that doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be carnal and still exercise your gift. You see, the Corinthians had all the gifts. Paul says in the first chapter, verse 4, he says, you come behind in no gift. You have it all. They had all the gifts, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretations, prophecies. They had all of them. But Paul says, you are carnal and walk like lost people. They were the lousiest bunch of Baptists that had ever joined the church. Living in immorality, suing each other, at each other's throat. They were pure carnality, and yet they had the gifts, and they were exercising those gifts. And here is a real danger, a subtle danger. You may have a gift of evangelism, a gift of teaching, and God will anoint that gift. Don't you mistake that for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit enables you to live a Christ-like life Monday through Sunday. And you may stand behind a pulpit or walk down the street and hand out tracts or go into a home and win dozens of people a day to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are irritable and short of temper and have no compassion and are rude and impolite and unthoughtful, you are not filled with the Spirit of God. You are walking as men and not as Christ. Everybody has a gift, but that doesn't mean you're spiritual. You can be out of the will of God and exercise that gift. I know I've done it. They are given not as rewards of spirituality, not as evidences of being spiritual. They are given simply because you're saved. Now, this means also, since they're salvation gifts, that they are differing gifts. Differing gifts. Let's look again at Romans chapter 12. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy. If it's exhortation, let's exhort. If it's teaching, let's teach. But let's stick to our gift, Paul says. We have gifts differing. Gifts differing. And sometimes we hear somebody say, well, everybody ought to have this gift, and if you don't have this gift, you're missing out on it. And it's God's will that everybody have this gift. Only thing wrong with that, again, is it's not scriptural. Look in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. There are diversities of operations. Now look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another healing. He doesn't say he gives all the gifts to all the people. In verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another tongues, to another the interpretation. The gifts differ. And again, he uses the figure of a human body. Just as in this body, you have members that differ. Why, the mark of God is variety and diversity. And yet, there are people that are constantly trying to get me to have their gift and to get their gift, saying, everybody ought to have this gift. Well, that'd be like being all thumbs. Can you imagine what a monstrosity you would be if God made every member of your body the same, all thumbs? Can you imagine what a monstrosity of a church we'd have if everybody had the gift of evangelism? You say, man, that'd be great. That'd be great. Think of all the people that would be saved. Ah, yes, but there'd be no one there to train them and teach them, and pretty soon they'd become carnal and babes and rise up and mock you. Wouldn't it be terrible if everybody in the church had the gift of teaching and nobody had the gift of evangelism? Then you wouldn't have anybody to teach after a while. He says, like the members of a body, you have need of each other. And it is unscriptural for us to believe and to say that everybody ought to have the same gift. These gifts are differing gifts. And you ought not to covet another person's gift. Say, I want that gift and I want that gift. Well, what would you think tonight if my big toe said, I want to be an eye? I'm stuck down here. Nobody ever sees me. I never get any attention. Somebody may say, man, doesn't he have beautiful eyes? But have you ever heard anybody say, man, hadn't he got beautiful toes? I'm all covered up. On the license, it says the color of eyes. It doesn't say the shape of the toes. I'm always neglected. I want to be an eye for a change. God says, okay, I'll make you an eye, but all you'll see is the inside of a sock. It would be just as ridiculous if God had said everybody in the body is to have the same gift. They are differing gifts. Differing gifts. And it has to be this way. This means that none of us can say to somebody else, I don't need you. Can the eye say to the ear, it doesn't need it? Can the hand say to the eye, I don't need you, I have no need of you? You see, if all of us had the same gifts, we wouldn't need each other. But tonight, I need you. And you need me. And my church cannot function without you. It needs every member of that church to function because God has distributed those gifts as He sees fit. All right, they're salvation gifts. Secondly, they are sovereign gifts. Sovereignly supernatural gifts. Where do these gifts come from? They come from the Holy Spirit. Look at the 7th verse of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, a spiritual gift is simply the way the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in your life in the area of service. It's how He manifests Himself in your life. Now, look at the 11th verse. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not as we wish, not as we want, but as he will. Look at the 18th verse of that same chapter. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. I'm so glad God didn't say, when I was a little baby, just said, Ron, where would you like your hand? I didn't have enough sense. I said, well, I'd like it on top of my head. That seems like that'd be a good place for it to be. All right, where would you like your other hand? Where would you like your foot? Have you ever noticed how that God doesn't ask our opinion on many things? It's been a long time since God has called me in and asked my advice on something. I'm not to dictate to God what He gives me. He has set the members, every one of them, as it hath pleased Him. And in verse 28, and God has set some in the church. And then He tells how He set them. God placed them just as He placed the arm where He wanted it so it pleased Him and glorify Him. So He places you in your particular gift where He wants you so it'll glorify Him and profit the church to the greatest extent. These are sovereign gifts. In other words, I am never commanded nor encouraged to seek a particular gift. Never, never am I commanded to be baptized in the Spirit. Never am I commanded or even encouraged to seek a particular and specific gift. You say, what about that verse where Paul says, but covet the best gifts? Glad you asked that question. The church at Corinth had all the gifts, but they were majoring on the minors. They were majoring on the minors. Now listen, some gifts are better than others. That's right. The Bible says that so. Some gifts are more valuable than others. Now this is not to despise any gift. It's not to despise any gift. I don't despise my little finger, but I don't get nearly as excited about my little finger as I get about my right arm and my left arm. Now, all of them are gifts of God, and none are to be despised. But nowhere does the Scripture command me and tell me to seek a particular gift. But the church at Corinth was majoring on the lesser gifts. And Paul says to that church, and the word covet is a word that carries the idea of cultivating and prizing. He's not telling them to seek particular gifts. He's saying, I want you to prize and cultivate the higher gifts. And stop putting on a pedestal the lesser gifts. You take the higher gifts, the better gifts, and you cultivate these, and you prize these, and you cherish these. Never commanded to seek any particular gift. They are sovereignly bestowed. That means that when the Holy Spirit wants you to have a gift, He will give you a gift without any help from you or anybody else. I don't want to sound negative, but anytime somebody comes to you and says, listen, there's a gift that you can have, and I'm going to show you how to do it, and I'm going to help you to get this gift, and here's the way you do it. You hold your mouth a certain way, and you say hallelujah 10 times, or you do this, or you do that, and anything that comes to your mind, then you just voice that. I want you to know that is not of God. Because the spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed, and He doesn't need anybody to help you to get it. I've never had anybody come to me and say, let me show you how to get the gift of evangelism. I've never had anybody come to me and say, let me show you how to get the gift of teaching. Anytime somebody has to help you get the gift, you beware of it. They are sovereignly bestowed. He gives them as He willeth. All right, third and final thing. Spiritual gifts are service gifts. They are service gifts. In verse 7, He says they are given to profit everyone, to profit the body of Christ. No one gift is given to exalt me. It is given to profit the entire body of Christ. They are service gifts. The glorious thing about the gifts of the Spirit is this, that if every member of every church would exercise his spiritual gift, the church would not need anything and lack nothing. There's a gift of giving. And if everybody who had the gift of giving was exercising that gift, you'd never have to have ketchup Sunday. And if every member of the church was exercising the gift of evangelism that it had, you'd never have to have youth evangelism conferences. Except just to come and praise the Lord for the thousands that He saved through us the year before. But you see, when we lose the supernatural ability, then this forces us to human resources. And there would be no lack. Wouldn't it be beautiful to see a church not having to have an attendance drive? I'm not against them, but wouldn't it be great not to have to have them? Because all week long, the people out there had been exercising their spiritual gifts, and the people were going to be there. Wouldn't it be great not to have to have a pledge day and a budget campaign, because everybody in the church that had the gift of giving was exercising that gift, and everybody else was doing what they ought to do in the matter of giving too, and the church would lack nothing? You know, God isn't poor. I don't know why we're always trying to save Him money. God is rich. And some of us pray and live as though God had just taken out bankruptcy. When the body of Christ is functioning as a body, and every member is exercising his gift, the church will have need of nothing in order to minister to the world. It will be self-sufficient and self-contained as the indwelling Spirit expresses and manifests itself through the availability of the body of Christ. Now, I want to give you 4 suggestions about how you can recognize your spiritual gift. I preface this by repeating again, it is not absolutely essential that you know it, because if you are being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and are doing what He tells you to do, you're exercising your gift whether you know it or not. But I think it is good for you to have an idea of what your gift is. Let me give four suggestions. Number one, personal inclination. Personal inclination. Your gift will lie in the direction of your personal desire, your personal inclination. What do you want to do? What do you enjoy doing for the Lord? I tell you, nobody has to beat me over the head to get me to preach. Nobody has to beg me to preach. I enjoy it. You might say, I have a personal inclination to preach. I want to do it. I enjoy doing it. It's where my heart is. And a man's spiritual gift will lie in the direction of his personal inclination, his personal desire. But that by itself is not enough. Second, there will be a public recognition. Public recognition. This means, number one, God will use it. Rather, the church will use it, and God will bless it. Now, this is extremely important, because some of our personal inclinations are just carnal desires. For instance, when I first started preaching, I had a personal inclination to be an evangelist. Man, I want to be an evangelist. I remember when my pastor ordained me, he said, Ron, God didn't call you to be another Billy Graham. I sat there and said, you're wrong. That's what I surrendered to. I had the personal inclination, but I want you to know something. There was no public recognition. I tell you, a fellow can pretty near starve to death that way. You know, the amazing thing is, if you have a gift of evangelism, you won't have to maneuver and manipulate and politic to get open doors. God will open the doors. And if you'll just be content to let God show you what your gift is and exercise that gift, you won't always have to be bugging the pastor and music director, let you do this and that and this and that and this and that. It'll just open the door. The church will recognize it and use it, and God will bless it. God will bless it. Where have you been serving and it's been blessed of God? Third, now this isn't always so in a person's case, but there are times when a man discovers his spiritual gift by prophetic declaration. By prophetic declaration. George W. Truett planned to be a lawyer. Church called him as pastor. He said, God hasn't called me to be a pastor. And the church said, yes, He has. The church had received a revelation from the Spirit of God to seek this man as their pastor. And George W. Truett learned that he had the gift of pastoring by prophetic declaration. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon was 7 years old, a great preacher visited his home one day and laid his hand on his shoulder and said, young man, someday you will preach the gospel. Now that is not always the way God works. Now I say that because I don't want anybody coming up after the service and say, Brother Dunn, you have the gift of giving. But sometimes we come to know our spiritual gift by prophetic declaration. Now, number four, there will be proper confession. Look at the third verse of 1 Corinthians 12. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If that gift you have is a genuine spiritual gift, it will put Jesus in His proper place, and that is Lord. Lord. You see, not all supernatural gifts are from God. Matthew 7, Jesus said on that great day, many will come to me and say, Lord, we've prophesied in Thy name, we've cast out demons in Thy name, we've done many wonderful works. He said, I never knew you. And did you know the magicians of Pharaoh duplicated the miracles that Moses did with his rod? Not all supernatural gifts are from God. But when a man has a supernatural gift that is from God, it will give Jesus Christ His proper place as Lord and King. And that man's life will be a testimony to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God comes in, He doesn't come in empty-handed. He comes bearing gifts. And you are supernaturally endowed tonight to serve God in a way that nobody else can. And if you will submit to the head, the lordship of Jesus, and say, Lord, I make myself available to you, and I'll do what you lead me to do, you will be exercising your spiritual gift.